humble paperclip has been in use for well over 100 years. Important information for you to know this morning. Unlike so many items of old technology, there's no retirement in sight for the paperclip. I read an article, I found an article in the archives of the Time magazine from July 17, 1958, to be precise, that reveals the results of a Lloyds Bank survey of 100,000 paperclips. Obviously, it was a bit slow in the banking industry in that era. The survey yielded the following information. Out of 100,000 paperclips, 25,000 fell on the floor and were swept away. 19,000 and a bit were used as chips in card games. 14,000 thereabouts were broken or twisted during phone conversations. 7,200 were used as temporary replacements for broken button snaps or zippers. You love this one. 5,434, to be precise, were used as toothpicks or ear cleaners. 5,308 were used to clean fingernails. And 3,913 were used as pipe cleaners, leaving only 20,000 paperclips which serve their proper function. Obviously, it's not good to be a paperclip, is it? How wasteful that 80% of paperclips are never utilized for their intended purposes. I wonder if you are like a paperclip. Our Creator designed us for good works well in advance of us being born. But I wonder if 80% of us never discover those good works. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork." I love that. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me pray. We ask, Lord, that we can be made aware, fully aware of those good works which you have for us. Don't let us be lazy, disconnected, turned away, turned off from the things that you want to have us do. Speak to us this moment, we pray. Amen. Well, this morning is the last in our series on Manifesto for Hope. I love the word "for." It expresses so much. And I think if we were ever as a church, as an adult church, I'm not talking about excess, but ever as an adult church wanting to get any merch printed up, I would want to see the word "for" in bold and italics on the front of any t-shirt, any cap, drink bottles, whatever you'd like. I want us to be known for things. The church is often known against. I think we need to be known for. For the community, for the world, for the gospel, for goodness, for Jesus. Do you agree with me? Over the last 4 weeks, no pun intended, we've been chewing the fat on what it means to respond to this world with hope. The discussion on this, while we end this series today, is not over. It rolls on, it keeps going, and we'll come back to it again and again, and in lots of other ways and lots of different topics, so look out for it. And over this series, we've covered a huge amount of ground, and if you've missed some or you want to catch up, re-listen to it again, then I encourage you to listen online. Before I get into my sermon, I want to say a few things today. First is that we have the air conditioners turned up flat out, and they're not quite good enough today, are they? So sorry about that, that's the way it is. You want to be here under the lights, let me tell you. It's a little bit warmer here, isn't that right, Bailey? If you're ever wondering how to get involved in the life of this church, I'll have an easy answer for you. Get involved in one of our welcome teams. We have a high value on serving here in this church, and I encourage you to get on board with one of our welcome teams. You will be blessed by serving. And the second thing is you get one of those fancy t-shirts. So I encourage it for you. Also, could I ask you to make the welcome teams work easier? You ready for this one? By moving to the front when you come into the auditorium. I know, it's hard, isn't it? It's really difficult. I never understand, if I want to be honest, I never understand why when we go to a concert, we queue up to get to the front seat. And we come to worship and we queue up to get to the back seats. In all honesty, I tell the truth that Rod and I always shower before we preach. Okay, so it's quite safe to be at the front. If you're a leader here, I want to call you to further leadership standard and by showing your leadership by moving forward to the front. Why do I ask you to do this? Is it because I want to see the whites of your eyes? No, it's not that. It's this. Again and again, I see our visitors, our aged, and other new people come here having to walk down the front because they were late, they couldn't find a car park, or they don't know the system around this life of the church. And they walk in late, and the only seats available, guess what? Are down the front, aren't they? I'm not telling you off. This is not my telling off voice, okay? I'm asking you in all seriousness to be considerate of others. Now, I am so wanting this to happen that I've got a little surprise for somebody in the auditorium today, and I would like you to all look under your seat. Just look under your seat, because I am giving away a car. And under somebody's seat, there is a car. I'm wondering if there's somebody who has got that car. Here it is. You felt convicted to come to the front. Well, obviously it was the Lord's speaking. You stand up, Ben, show the car that you've got. A round of applause for Ben, he's won the car. Thank you, Ben. Next week is the beginning of Lent and the period as we go in towards Easter. And as my habit is we will do a series on Jesus. And we're going to call this Faces of Jesus. I want to lead us into this, a good hard look at the life of Jesus expressed through six of the biblical authors. So the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Philippians and Colossians. And so we're discovering what it is the early writers were trying to communicate to us about Jesus. This is a teaching series. And so we're going to be teaching. So bring your Bibles, come prepared to engage with the Scriptures and to learn what God wants us to learn. But today, I want to address the topic of your purpose. And I want to get serious. I'm going to get straight into it and lead you the core of what I want to say today, in which this: God has placed us here, not here in this worship space, but here on this earth at this time in this place for a reason. And each one of us needs to find that reason and live into it. So here's the sentence I want to leave you with, and it's going to be up on the screen. To be a hope-filled people, we need to have a hope-filled purpose. To be a hope-filled people, we need to have a hope-filled purpose. So here's the serious bit. Some of us are wondering, our own self-talk, we're wondering if we are a mistake. Some of us are wondering if we are an accident and that there's no place here on planet Earth for us, or if there is a place for us here on planet Earth, that we are leftovers in God's grand design, sort of the extra bit in case somebody else didn't do their job. It's almost as if some of us are still waiting for our marching orders or an email from heaven. And some of us are wondering whether it's actually worth us being here. I've got to tell you, all these things are not the truth. They're not even close to the truth. And I want to speak into this morning and leave you no shadow of a doubt where I think and what the Bible expresses to us. To be honest with you, some of us have flipped the switch mentally and we are just going through the motions when it comes to life. Some of us have punched out on the time clock early and we're just coasting through. Some of us have even given up, handed in, and we're just doing what it does to get through. But even more than that, some of us have been distracted and we've forgotten what our key purpose in life is. I wonder if some of this is ringing bells with some of you. And there might be good reasons why you're distracted or why these sorts of things are happening to you, or You're wondering why, if you have a place here, or if you're feeling beaten down and used up and as if you're not worth it. And I hear them. And I hear those reasons, and I hear them almost daily. You might have a full-on family to take care of. You might have significant emotional, mental, physical issues to deal with. I hear you. I do. It might be that you are doing good things for a lot of people. But you know, deep down, with all these things, they're not the great things that you were created to be and to do. The enemy is the good, and it's getting in the way of the great. And I wonder this morning if that's you, if that's your life. So here's the thing. To live as hope-filled people, we must have a hope-filled purpose. And I'll tell you what, if you want to push my buttons, it cuts me up to see people either distracted or not having the courage to live into the fullness of what God has rolled out in front of them, the plan that God has for them. You are not here to survive this world. You are here to live into God's purposes for you. Are you just surviving in this world? Way back when I came here, I led you through the book of Esther. The book of Esther, great story, tells you of a young Jewish woman who became the wife of the king, the most powerful man in the known world. Now, if you haven't read it, you're missing out. It's in the Old Testament. If you read it slowly, it takes you about 30 minutes. It's a good read. As the wife of the king, Esther became aware of a plot to basically enact genocide on all the Jews. Now, here's the point of the story. She has to make a choice to either be quiet and live out her life in luxury and anonymity, or to live into God's purposes for her and to risk everything, and that included risking her life. So she chooses the latter. In essence, she declares that her life is not defined by the things around her, the riches, her position as queen, not even her wealth and comfort. She had everything at her disposal. But rather, she chose to stand up and risking her life, she chose to speak for her people. Because why? Because she knew God had a purpose for her. And it's that famous verse, who knows that you were not created for such a time as this. I'll let you read the rest of the story and work out what happens if you like. But here's the thing. Here's what I want you to know today. Here's what I want you to leave with this embedded in your brain this morning. Esther's life reminds us clearly, crystal clear, that our lives are not incidental. They are set apart by God for works which we are yet to achieve. That's theological language. Let me give it to you in leadership language. Some of you will understand that. Your lives are not coincidental. They are not accidental. Your lives are strategic. If you're taking notes, I ask you to write that down. Your lives are strategic. You have a God-designed purpose to fulfill. And with all my heart, I believe you're put on this earth to enjoy it. Absolutely. I enjoy it as much as anybody. And we're also to represent God. And last week, Rod led us into this. We are ambassadors. So as an ambassador, your life is not an accident. Your race is not an accident. Your gender is not an accident. Your context is not an accident. The time of your birth, the time of history is not an accident. None of it is. God has a plan for you. Do you know it? Your profession is not an accident. Your friends are not an accident. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that the terrible things that may have happened to you or to others that you love are God's doings. But I am saying that whatever circumstances you find yourselves in, God wants to use you through it. A friend of mine would say to me, to be used by someone is awful, but to be used by God is wonderful. You're not here just to survive. Rather, we are here to serve. When I say serve, I mean to serve into the purposes that God has called us to complete. Our highest aim is not happiness, but rather discovery and the serving of our eternal purposes. That's very anti-cultural to say that. When we do this, it has a peculiar effect upon us, and it's this: it resets the priorities that we have in life. And ever so slowly, as we mature, we realize just how much of a stranger we are in this world. And we see increasingly with clarity the dichotomy between the world we live in and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a place where God's rule and reign are seen fully. And what we discover then is our place as part of God's rule and reign coming into effect. So we stop asking questions like this: what can I get out of it? And what's in it for me? And how much reward comes back to me? And we start asking questions like this: God, what work do you have for me to do today? God, what is my eternal place in the significance of your economy at this moment? You know, we actually pray this way when we pray the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." A personal prayer we pray, asking God's will in our life in order for his will to be done. You know, I started my working life at 15, straight out of school. Finished school on the Friday, started work on the Monday. And quickly I realized several things. The first was, I did not want to retire at 65 with a house, a car, and a boat. I got that one right because the retirement age has moved. Now it's 67, but there you go. It seemed to me that all the other men I was working with had that ideal and were working towards that. But I had higher ideals for my life, and I thought that if I earned more money, that would really satisfy me and bring me more joy. I didn't realize that I was right to listen to the craving inside of me, just not the conclusion that I jumped to. It was a long time later that I worked out that this was the Spirit of God in me calling me to a much higher purpose in life. Those around me will know that I am reasonably driven in what I do. And I love the line from Arnold Schwarzenegger, who, giving his recipe for life and recipe for a 24-hour day, was told that 6 hours sleep is not enough for anybody. And he responded, "Well, if that's not enough for you, then just sleep faster." I like to think I'm driven because I have discovered my eternal purpose. I know exactly what that is. And so every time you come to worship, every time you engage with something from Seeds, you see it hopefully unfolding. And I have my eternal purpose captured in one sentence, and I want to share it with you this morning. Something's been intensely private for me, but I'm putting it out there for you today. And here it is. It's this: to do whatever it takes to build a team to refresh the church to reach the lost. Let me say it again. To do whatever it takes to build a team to refresh the church to reach the lost. So here's the question I want to ask you this morning. Do you know what your purpose is? I have to tell you, it's not something that just popped into my head one day when I was sitting on a cloud playing a harp. It took me over a year, nearly 2 years, working with my mentor, who's pretty serious stuff, to get to that point. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to do the work to find out what God's plan is for your life? Are you willing to get to outside of yourself and find the reason for which you were created? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit some fire inside of you to burn with some holiness that you might enact in this whole world? So how do you know if you've got a plan, a purpose that comes from God? It's quite simple. It's affirmed by those around you with whom you are accountable to. And secondly, it's bigger than you and it's outside of yourself. If it's anything else, it's too small and too narrow. We have a big God who gives out big assignments. If you can achieve it in your own strength with your own resources, it's not good enough. Look further. I've got to tell you, I think God is very gracious, but God also expects us to use our intelligence. Over and over again, the great annals of the church, when people have done this, they have changed the course of history. That is our legacy. It is now our turn to live into that. It is your turn to find your purpose and do it in this world for hope. The word that I tagged for today was the word fearless. I've been reliably informed that was the key theme on the gay Mardi Gras, which happened yesterday. I got it first, I'm sure. If you look on Netflix, you'll also see there's a series called Fearless, and it's all about bull riding. I'm not talking about that either. I am talking about not letting go, not letting those things around us that we see dissuade us from the purpose that God has laid at your feet. We know this. We know that Jesus has defeated sin and death on the cross. We know that in the end, he will chain all evil and death and destruction and throw them to be burnt forever in the lake of fire. This tells us that every victory that evil wins is a temporary victory. And more to the point, and on the contrary, every future victory for Jesus and his people will stand eternally. Do you agree? The only reason we are fearless is because of Jesus and what he has done. And that is what we are. We are fearless. We are hope filled with the purpose of Jesus in us, in our hearts, and going out through our actions. Now, you can be forgiven for shrinking back from our purpose. We see terrible footage of violence. We hear, we read things all the time. They shock us to the core, don't they? We live in fear-filled times, but our response is to live into our purpose, to stand up for the least of these, to draw from the Holy Spirit the courage to fight for the things that are not just. A friend of mine once prayed a prayer in my hearing, and it stunned me when I heard it. He said, "God, break my heart for the things that break yours." You know, we often sing that in the lyrics of a song that we sing. They're dangerous words to pray, aren't they? Imagine if that actually happened to us. In 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians, middle of the New Testament, we find an image of us as clay jars. Let me read this passage, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. I'm finding myself resonating with this passage more and more these days. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. What's the treasure? It's the good news of the gospel inside of us. To show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Another reason why we are fearless. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Don't you love that? Hope-filled. And even though it's tough, this great news shines through and we will not be defeated. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself being hard-pressed, crushed. I'm often perplexed, struck down, persecuted even. But I know that this is not enough to defeat the eternal purpose that God has called me towards. What about you? What's your purpose? What are you going to do here on this earth for the few days that you have? Are you just surviving? Or are you living into your part of the magnificent grand vision that God has for this world, including you and using you. You are a bearer of hope. And I challenge you. I lay down the challenge to you this morning to live into that hope in every way possible and to not rest until you've been a liberal distributing agent of that hope in the world in which you are a part of. One of the best newspaper articles, cartoons of all time is Calvin and Hobbes. And one day Calvin and Hobbes came marching in the living room early one morning and his mother is seated there in her favourite chair. She's sipping her morning coffee. She looks up at young Calvin and she's amused and amazed to see how he is dressed. You can see it behind me. Calvin's head is encased in a large space helmet. He's got a cape draped down his back and right down out on the floor. One hand is holding a flashlight, the other a baseball bat. "What's up today?" asks his mum. "Nothing so far," answers Calvin. "So far?" she asks. "Well, you never know," Calvin says. "Something could happen today." And Calvin marches off and turns back over his shoulder. And if anything does, by golly, I'm going to be ready for it. And Calvin's mum looks out of at the audience and she looks to us and she says, "I need a suit like that." My friends, you have an eternal purpose. Extraordinary, phenomenal purpose. Find it. Live into it. Put it in one sentence if that's your style, but live out of it in order to be a hope bearer in this world. The world desperately needs you. Let me pray. Thank you, God, for the work that you have done and the work that you continue to do. We thank you in your incredible wisdom, through the generosity and the love in your heart. You not only have created each one of us, and you didn't create us either to be robots, but you gave us a choice, and you laid before us our own path, our own choice, or your path. We pray, Lord, that we would have the wherewithal to see the difference between the two. That we wouldn't choose selfishness, that we wouldn't choose our own happiness and our own pleasures, but that we would see your higher purpose, your eternal purpose, our works that will go on before us, that will bless others and leave a legacy behind us. Give us the courage to live into that, Lord Jesus, we pray. In this we ask. Amen.